Jordan Phillips happened while I was gone. This is actually this is something I wanted to start with, though, because I have, you know, sometimes, Joe, you probably know how this works. Not being on the air for 3-4 days, I was off last week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I was off yesterday, which I didn't know until Sunday night. I was texting you guys about coming in yesterday.
Yes.
You're like, you don't work. Oh.
You're like, hey, we should do this tomorrow.
Yeah, we're like, you're off, buddy.
What are you doing tomorrow?
That's right. So I had an extra day to think about it. But anyway, the Jordan Phillips thing I watched happen, I watched it play out where Jordan Phillips is coming back. Okay, all right, I guess that's a thing. Jordan Phillips is going to be signed to the 53-man. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Pause, wait. Okay, now Jordan Phillips is going to be signed to the 53-man. No, the 90-man. Then he's going to be cut. Then he's going to be brought back, and he's going to be on the practice squad, and there's roster finagling and all that. Mm-hmm. But in between there, there was reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And my theory right now, or whatever, my working thing for this morning is, and if you want to give a call on this, 803-0550. My thing is that the reaction actually will tell us something. The reaction, there was what, 24 hours of Jordan Phillips is going to make the 53-man roster?
Yeah.
And in that 24 hours of reaction, whether it was my text club or Twitter or listening to the station or people just coming up and talking to me at a golf tournament saying, Jordan Phillips?
Jordan Phillips.
What are we doing there? The reaction that became pretty clear was it was a rare, if you will, a rare little Bean's got to get his act together moment.
Hmm.
There aren't that many of those. He doesn't.
No.
He doesn't get nearly the same kind of spotlight or whatever, microscope that McDermott does. He really doesn't. It's, yeah, sure, we criticize some of the picks. You like this pick, you got this is good and this is bad. And this one, hey, I don't know what's happening with Cole Bishop or Kyer Elam. But when the Phillips news broke, and again, it was an overreaction because we didn't know all the details of how it was going to work at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that overreaction, almost like it set off like, bing, 10,000 people at once saying, this defensive line better get it together this year, or the GM is going to have to answer for it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the reaction on that was instantaneous, kind of revealing like, oh, that's all in there for Bills fans. They're kind of ready to pounce on that
right.
If the defensive line doesn't produce something this year.
Right. And Phillips, I mean, he could have been any other player that they were about to sign to the practice squad, and I don't think it really would have. Nobody would have cared.
I agree. It's going back to the well on a guy you knew again.
That's right. A fourth time.
Yeah. Fourth time. That's Damar Hamlin is back. And, okay, well, he's a reasonable starter. Dane Jackson is back. Cole Beasley's back. John Brown's. Like, they love to bring their guys back. And there's definitely merits for why you would do that. But the last time they were going to bring back Jordan Phillips, and he got hurt again, and it's like, all right, we like this guy, but I don't know how much he's got left. Phillips last January said, I'll only play here.
Right, or he'll retire, basically.
Which, part of that is like, okay, that's a nice compliment to you. The other part of that for me is he doesn't really want any other option.
No.
So, okay, that's bottom of the barrel kind of stuff. I think there are, again, reasons to do it, and it's not a terrible idea on your practice squad. But the bigger point I want to make is just the reaction was from people I talked to, at a golf tournament and on Twitter, swift sort of, what are they doing at defensive tackle? What are they doing on the line? How could they still be battling with adding someone from the outside, given the number of pieces that they already added in one offseason?
I think, too, the fact that it is Phillips actually implies, like, oh, they think this guy might have to play. And that might be the biggest difference between him and whoever they would bring on to the practice squad that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
And that I think, is where criticism could come, especially at that position, because I think outside of their desperation to go get that franchise quarterback in their first year or two as, you know, a regime here, since then, the position group they've been the most obsessed with getting to an elite level is that defensive line.
And it never has been.
Constantly the group that falls short in that final game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that could be a lightning rod position if they don't perform this year. I mean, because it would be, this is their guys, right? Like, they've got They've got their first-round pick in Rousseau, who is signed, and they've got Oliver, who was a top-10 pick, and they've got all these other draft picks behind them. I know they're rookies. Dwayne Carter is a third-round pick. That's the draft compensation they trade down with in the Xavier Worthy trade to get.
Yeah.
Joey Bosa is their biggest free agent signing of the summer. Epinesa was their first draft pick of a draft. Like, there's so much put into it that if you're getting to a place where some point during the season, this isn't going well, Jordan Phillips, again, put him in there.
Yeah.
Like, that could happen. I remember when Beasley came back and there was a little bit of that. Like, how could you be at a place where Cole Beasley and John Brown have to come back and save the day off the couch when they're basically out of retirement because they're not NFL players anymore? And that I think, is not where you want to end up on the defensive line. Do you want to believe this defensive line could be a top 10 unit in the league? And Jordan Phillips playing meaningful snaps, I don't think screams that that's a top 10 unit. I think that screams that something's gone wrong and you've got to plug in a guy that you just, he knows how to do it.
Yep. We'll get the complete clarification breakdown from Sal. He's got why it works this way, where he would sign, be released, then because he doesn't have to clear waivers, so he's just on the practice squad, all that sort of it. Like, Sal's got that. That's coming up at 7 o'clock.
He's also wearing a number that doesn't instill much
52?
Confidence.
Yeah, that's troublesome. The other part, as you lay that all out, there's another piece of news today to make this point, and that's Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
He got a raise, he got more money, and he got assurances he'll be a free agent, right? So you want to go after Trey Hendrickson next offseason? Is Bean already thinking about it? This year it was Bosa, and we'll see how Bosa plays, and if it works, I mean, they could bring Bosa back. But if it doesn't go well for Bosa, aren't they chasing defensive end again? And aren't they thinking, well, this is the Vaughn deal part two, except he's younger. He'd be younger than Vaughn at the time. He's a premier pass rusher, and he's available. And they do not become available. When Bean was asked by, who wasn't Pat McAfee, who asked him last week, if you could add any one player in the NFL, he said,
it was the
Busting with the Boys.
Busting with the Boys, yeah.
He's like, a guy who plays down LeBron's town, you know, maybe got $40
million. Yeah.
He's talking about Myles Garrett. He would have liked to have had Garrett, who didn't become available. Next year, next offseason, Trey Hendrickson's going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to re-sign with Cincinnati.
No chance.
No chance.
No chance. And he'll be 31.
Yeah.
So it's not like he'll be 34 or 35, like what Vaughn was even.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope we're ready for that conversation, because we talked this whole offseason about Garrett and Crosby and Hendrickson. And next offseason, Hendrickson will be out there to get a $140 million contract, probably.
Well, because they're either going to re-sign Bosa or they're going to go get another guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not going to go. What would have to happen? Landon Jackson gets 12 sacks this year,
right?
For them to not do that, like, it's not realistic. Like, they're going to go after a guy. I mean, obviously, the dream scenario, I think, is that Parsons is available in a year, right?
Right.
That he's still in it with Dallas and hasn't signed, and they're talking about franchise tagging or trading, and then you call Jerry Jones and be like, we will give you whatever you want. Blank check. This is the player I've been searching for 8 years. What do you want? Anything but Josh. Take it.
Yeah. Is it wrong to look at their cap space for next year?
The Bills?
Yeah, they don't have a lot. They got to work. They got work to do.
With 12 days before the season?
Right, before next year's cap. Anyway, 803-0550, if you have a thought on that. Again, Jordan Phillips, he probably will play. I think he might play in the opener because it's Baltimore and they're going to need someone that knows what they do. I don't know if you want to throw Deion Walker and TJ Sanders out there in extended snaps now that they're going to get game planned against.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Like, if it is Jordan Phillips that gets some run early in the season or spot duty here and there, I don't think that's a terrible, terrible thing, but it does probably, it's only maybe only because of Ogunjobi's suspension, although Ogunjobi has not exactly been all that impressive in the preseason here. So, you know, we're talking defensive line because the Bills focus on it a lot, and the Phillips news is just like, man, we're here again talking about whether or not they have enough up there.
He did have one moment last year in the Chiefs AFC Championship game. You see Joe Marino's tweeting out the videos, a play I had forgotten about, like hadn't remembered maybe even that day. I wouldn't have remembered it. They did have one stop that they needed on Kansas City, and it was Phillips. The AFC Championship game, it's first and goal at the 10 for Kansas City. It's a tie football game. and there's 4:28 to go. First and 10, Phillips gets the sack. Like, the clip is actually super impressive. He basically lifts up the Chiefs guard and just throws him back into Patrick Mahomes and gets the sack, and then it's second and goal at the 17, and it's basically, okay, they're playing for a field goal now.
Yeah,
so
that's big.
He did have a moment the last time we saw him on the field, but still not a guy that, you know, you'd like to think Deion Walker and TJ Sanders won't allow Jordan Phillips to get into the rotation because they're going to be producing.
803-0550. If you want to give us a ring on this, where we're starting today, Sean in Toronto is with us. Hey, Sean, good morning.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I was just thinking about this Phillips signing, and I think there's a little bit more to it. I'm thinking since we're kind of hurting at safety, and the New England safety became available, we may be looking at trading Ed Oliver to New England for their safety. I think his last name's Duggar. Yeah. So I think maybe there's a little bit more to it.
Kyle Duggar. Yeah. So Kyle Duggar, if the Bills are trading for Kyle Duggar, the Patriots better be eating $15 million of his cap hit. He's got a $15 million cap hit. This is a second-round safety, high draft pick that has not really worked out. It has not worked out for Kyle Duggar in New England. He's a 29-year-old safety, and I mean,
I'm not a big Ed Oliver fan at all, but not for Duggar.
That's trading a good player for a project.
Yeah, we talked to Evan Lazar yesterday about what's going on with him, and he had ankle surgery, I guess, in the offseason and hasn't looked right since coming off of that, and that he didn't have a good season last year, and he's more a Belichick-type safety that likes to play down in the box, and Vrabel doesn't, like, they're looking for a different, like, over-the-top guy.
Okay.
Which, by the way, how does that sound? A guy that's better off playing closer to the line of scrimmage. Kind of sounds like Cole Bishop.
It does, right.
In ways. So a guy like that that just had ankle surgery and didn't have a good year, like, I mean, if you want to figure out a way to get him for like a 6th-round pick, if they're willing to take salary, but I'm not trading Ed Oliver for him.
803-0550. Thanks, Sean. Could it mean that somebody else is being traded? Dwayne Carter? I mean, Carter is one of a few players on this roster that, if he does make the team, won't, I say most, I'm not sure like 2,000 Bills fans total have an opinion on Dwayne Carter making the team, but you know the idea. Isn't it because of draft status alone?
Sure. I mean, he would be the quickest they've given up on a day two pick in like a decade.
Yeah.
At least during this GM. They gave up on Boogie Basham after 2 years. That's the quickest.
And Basham never flashed.
No, nothing.
There was very, very little. And if you look back on Basham, did they hold on too long? I wonder if with Boogie Basham and now here with, my mind went blank.
Dwayne Carter.
Thank you, Dwayne Carter. Would they say, you know what, we waited too long on Basham. We can just move on. We've got more reinforcements to that position. You know, today's roster cutdown day, by the way. We haven't mentioned that yet. So 4 o'clock today, the first 53-man roster, sometimes called the final 53, which then changes again and again and again.
But cutting him outright, though, just feels like that would be...
Carter could be moved for a 6th. And...
Right. Some other GM liked him in the pre-draft process and is like, yeah, we'll take a flyer on him.
Right.
I don't know.
Carter would, of course, on the narrative side of things, make the Worthy trade with the Chiefs only about Coleman and Worthy. It, for a while, was like, well, they really wanted a 3rd-round pick. They spent that on Dwayne Carter. If he doesn't even make the team out of year 2, which, I don't know. I hear a lot of, maybe he won't. And could he get claimed? I don't know. Could he get traded? I guess that's possible as well. But it's definitely not gone well for him. At the start of his career last year, there were positive signs, and then he was just basically a non-factor the rest of the way. And here we are.
Right. There was a moment in the Texans game, and that was like the last we heard from him.
Yeah, it's week four or five.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't even in the lineup, really.
Yep. So we had an idea for a game that we can play, and we're going to make a little bet on our side here. It's a fantasy draft. It's also fantasy draft season. So what we will be doing is 2-round snake draft, former Bills to be future Bills.
Yes.
And whoever hits first wins. There's not going to be a first, second, third. I mean, we might not hit anybody here. But Jordan Phillips is back. This is actually kind of a takeoff, Joe, of my deep desire to have an NFL coordinator draft where you get points when your coordinators become coaches. I desperately want to be in a dynasty league where I can draft coordinators to get jobs as a head coach. You know, this is year 10 of talking about that, not putting it together. Anyway, let's draft.
All right.
Former
Josh
Bills.
Josh has the first pick.
They are not with the organization right now.
Right.
They will be coming back at some point. 2 years, 6 years, you name it.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Now, two things just to get clarity on.
Yes.
They just can't be with the team right now. They haven't had to be with somebody else in between.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Would Jordan Phillips have counted? Because he was not with the Bills, but he also didn't stop anywhere else in between.
You know what's funny? I found him on ESPN's Dolphins depth chart right now.
They have another Jordan Phillips.
But you click his name, it goes to this Jordan Phillips.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to say, I think they have a different Jordan Phillips.
All right. So, like, who's that? Somebody that retired last year?
Yeah. Like
Rasul Douglas counts.
If Micah Hyde has a change of heart and says, actually, you know what? Maybe I do want to give it one more go.
Your answer is this. If they're not with the team right now, they count.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Micah Hyde counts.
And the other.
Rasul Douglas counts.
Okay.
If you want that one.
And the other question I had was, is this just during the McDermott Bean era?
No.
Any former Bill.
Okay. I mean, I feel like
you can draft Jim, you can draft Thurman if you want.
Sure. Right. If you'd like to do that, yes, you can do that.
Okay.
We spun the wheel and Josh has the first pick, snake draft, 8 picks. Josh picks first. Former, future Bills.
Pick one.
With the first pick from the producer's studio, I am proud to select Rasul Douglas.
Wow, okay.
Cornerback. We had to identify which side of the ball needed most help. We were back and forth a little bit.
Yeah.
Decided Rasul Douglas.
You went for a position of need?
Positional value, yeah.
Maybe.
Exactly.
Rasul Douglas.
Gotta be safe.
He is the only of the big three last year not on a team.
All right, he's still available.
Vaughn got to Washington. Amari Cooper got to the Raiders. And Rasul Douglas, who visited with the Dolphins but didn't sign, is still available. Rasul Douglas, pick number one to Joe.
Pick number two, I'm going to take the guy that said a month ago that he would like to finish his career with the Bills, and it's at a position that they're currently not in great shape at. I'll go Jordan Poyer.
Wow.
As a practice squad add in the same light that Micah Hyde was last year. Maybe he doesn't even appear in uniform.
But
signs with the Bills.
He might have more of an idea that he wants to play, though, than Hyde did, no?
Maybe. Does he think he's going to play?
I don't know.
Somewhere? I don't know what he thinks.
I think he's going around, like, traveling the world at the moment.
Is he?
Instagram?
Yeah. Listen, like, to Owen over here was scouting these guys' Instagrams to see, like, you know, this guy's in Japan right now. I don't know if he's really
thinking about
football.
If you're just not doing your due diligence and just opening up the book.
Yeah.
Got to get your scouting reports done.
The pick is to me. And then Owen for two, and then we're back. You know, this is a tough one here because I feel like I want to pick the guy that visited the team.
Go ahead.
I'm going to pick him. I'm going to pick Gabe Davis.
Okay.
Week three, Josh Palmer gets a leg injury. Gabe Davis is signing. So,
if he's not on a team already.
That's right.
That's part of why I didn't pick him because I think Poyer, I don't think, is signing anywhere. I think Gabe might.
Okay. Yeah. This is long enough. I mean, my board includes guys that are currently under contract on other teams.
Oh, me too.
That they will bring back.
Yeah.
We'll see how deep we can go on this. If we can get a third round out of it, we will. All right. So, Gabe Davis, give me my pick.
Yeah.
To Owen for two.
Oh, this is tough. I got back to back here. To me, I know this guy just got traded. It just feels like the kind of guy that they want back. Harrison Phillips.
This is a good pick.
What are you doing?
This is a good pick.
Yeah. He seems like the kind of guy they'd want to get their hands back on.
Definitely.
He was a Buffalo guy. Like, I think Phillips is a good pick there.
He is on my board.
I was hoping he could fly under the radar.
Yeah. He wasn't flying by me. And then we'll go with another just obscure receiver that probably shouldn't play anywhere, but probably will. Jake Kumerow. I think is a guy that's kind of a...
Is he still in the league?
He's got to be in, like, the Himalayas.
That doesn't stop right them.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. He feels to me like a vibes guy that Josh got along with that I can see them going back to the well on.
He was last with a team with the Bills in 2023.
Okay. Mm-hmm. To me, for the next pick, I got a guy I came to this draft of former... Future Bills, Former yeah. Bills to be future Bills.
Okay.
And I'm going to take Saran Neal.
Oh.
That was my next pick.
I did not think on a Tuesday morning on August 26th I'd be looking up Saran Neal's guaranteed money with the 49ers, but I did look that up.
We were all on Neal, huh? Yeah.
Give yeah. me Saran Neal, second pick of this draft for me. I mean, come on. He knows the system. Part of this draft is we can immediately launch into what we would say the moment he's brought back. Knows the system, versatility,
yep.
You know, special teams. You're getting a lot with Saran Neal. Saran Neal's my second round pick.
All right, I am going to go with a lesser known Bill that you might even feel like I'm cheating a little bit
here we go.
This player already is a three stint Bill. There's no doubt that, in my opinion, he's going to get to a fourth. I'm going to go with Ely Onku
A
draft pick here.
Wow.
Who is not on a team right now. He was with the Bills for a couple games last year. On and off the depth chart. All for 4 years.
That's good.
Ely Onku.
That's a good pick. Real good pick.
I'm ready to go back a third round if you guys are.
I think we're going to do it. I got names on my board.
Yeah. I got names on my board.
I mean, the chat's got some names thrown at us, so yeah, let's do a third round. Josh, your pick.
All right, I'll pick two here. I'm going to go with the first pick, guy that is currently on a roster, Kingsley Jonathan.
Okay.
Okay, Syracuse guy.
Mm-hmm. Good pick.
What roster is he on?
I think it's the Jets, last I checked. Maybe it's the Giants, one of the two. I know I looked earlier, I just can't remember which one he's on.
Okay.
Regardless. Second pick on the comeback, Tyrell Dodson, current Miami Dolphin.
Yep.
I also looked him up and see what his contract looked like. He did just sign a 2-year deal with Miami. So, all right. I am going to go with between two names here. And we're only doing three rounds. Right?
Yeah, so only do three rounds.
This player might be undrafted if I don't take him here.
We got to find out who's
sitting there in the green.
We got to find out who was snubbed.
Yeah. All right. Because I'll tie goes to the guy that's not on the team right now. I'll go with Stephon Gilmore.
Okay.
Stephon Gilmore, cornerback. The Bills have injuries. He's nearing the end. I don't think he'll want a lot of money. Gilmore.
This does make me think we should only be picking McDermott-era guys, though.
I asked for clarity before the draft. Now we're making a big deal of this.
Will it feel like it's the same thing, though?
Like, before... No, it won't.
You can have the pick. I'm just saying, it feels like we should have made that clip.
The opportunity was presented to create that rule before.
It was.
Because he was on my board.
Okay. You can have it, I guess.
I can take my other guy if you really want.
Let's take the other guy.
Take the other guy?
Yeah, just because the whole idea is that they're returning to this regime.
All right.
Because they bring guys back that they feel comfortable with.
All right, I'm going to take Zach Moss.
Ooh. Zach Moss.
Bills pick up an injury running back. He's not on a team right now. The reason I picked Gilmore over him is he has a neck injury. Had a neck injury.
Ooh.
And that can be.
Yeah.
I mean, Damian Harris had a neck injury and it ended his career.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know the severity of Moss's, but, you know, middle to late of the year, like something happens to Ray Davis. Who do they call? Like Zach Moss.
Okay. Hold on, I got to go to Spot Track to see how many years this guy signed for.
If they sign Stephon Gilmore later today, I can't tell. I am going to be furious.
If they do that, it won't be treated like, they're bringing the band back again.
No, it won't. And I also will feel like I am owed $15.
True. Well, oh well.
At the same time.
That's tough for you. It's too old. I can't do it. I don't want to do it.
Too old.
The next guy I'm thinking of, I got to take him off the board. He's just too old.
Emmanuel Sanders.
No, it's Mac Hollins. Oh. He's got a 2-year contract. They're going to bring him back at 33. Give me, this is former Bills that are going to come back.
Mm-hmm. Listen to him furiously typing.
I know. Spot track, spot
the clock track, runs track. Out. He gets digs.
Yeah.
No thanks.
One game contract, retire a Bill with Josh.
I've got a couple names here. I'm surprised.
I had names left on my board.
I have another one, too. I've got a name here. I'm going to go Kyle Allen.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Good buddies with Josh.
Yes.
Right?
His best friend, basically.
And backup quarterbacks can play
anywhere forever.
He played against the Bills in the preseason, but wasn't he? Who was he with? Detroit?
He won the backup job in Detroit.
He did?
Yep. He won the backup job.
I don't think that bodes well for you, then.
I'm just next year.
If he's the backup.
2 years, 3 years.
This thing's not making it to next year. Come on. They're going to bring back one of these guys this season,
it's
right?
It's got to happen. I am going to go with, because you stole my Saran Neal pick, I have to go with another safety. Dean Marlowe is on a one-year deal with the Chargers.
Boy, right is that now. A good pick. Late round steal.
Just Dean feels Marlowe. Like a
you gotta like it.
Next year, just see if he can make the team as some depth.
Yep. Yep.
That's
all right.
My guy.
Keep the list. Whoever gets the first one back wins $15 from the other three.
All right. This will be immortalized. This is going to be a video here. This will be up forever.
I did think Quentin Morris was on my board.
Quentin Morris.
He was on mine as well.
I'm surprised that Sneaky Joe here, you didn't try to bend the rules a little bit and say Brian Daboll.
Mm. Oh, no.
I
did think of coaches for a second. I didn't even think of Daboll.
I just thought maybe you might go that route.
I really should have done that, shouldn't I have?
If we would have went to round four, I had a long shot, long term, Wyatt Teller. He's up at the end of the year. Ooh. People don't want to be in Cleveland. The Bills might need help on offensive line.
David Edwards is free agent.
Torrance has got to sign a big contract.
They can't afford Wyatt
Teller.
No,
they can't afford Wyatt Teller.
Yeah, you never know.
He's going to get $100 million. Dollars.
Yeah.
I had Devin Singletary on my board.
Okay.
I think he's the third string running back right now in New York. Levi Wallace was on my board.
I had Levi Wallace as the name.
I had Edmonds on mine. Just
Jermaine
done
Edmonds.
With that Chicago contract.
I had Shaq Lawson on my board.
Yeah,
he played one game in Carolina last year. He's also like a three-stint Bill. I had Quentin Jefferson on my board.
I had Quentin Jefferson on my board. Tim Settle. Listen, right now we are all reaching out to these players, agents, to say listen, we wanted to draft you. We can't believe you got through. Come in for a visit.
Come in for a visit.
Let's have a chat about. Bills brought back Jordan Poyer. We learned about that in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And
how's it sitting with you?
I mean, it's sitting better than it was when we thought he's on the 53, which 90% of the freakout was when he's on the 53, this is a terrible idea. Everything has gone wrong. And where it sits now is a slightly more panicked version of Jordan Phillips. For Jordan Phillips, the Bills have many, many answers at defensive tackle. Rookies that have showed out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
For Poyer, all I want to say is this. You pretty much are unable to push back on any idea that a veteran will help young guys. Mm-hmm. Once that is said, you kind of have to say, well, there it is. I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Right? You're not allowed to argue against it. It's kind of like if you're in an argument about trading somebody and the person you're with says, hey, Gretzky got traded, and you're like, that's correct. Yes, Gretzky got traded. Hey, what about the leadership? Yeah, okay. Yep. Leadership, culture, all that. And Brandon Bean yesterday said they'd been talking with Poyer all the way going back to May. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I guess my question would just be how necessary the leadership really was. Because who's it for? It's for Bishop.
That's the thing. It's for
Bishop.
It's
when,
for everybody in the room.
Yeah.
And Bean said yesterday, if you had 5-year veterans who are all pros back there and they're great, that you'd still want a leader for the position. To which I want to say, okay. I think
it just wasn't like a room with four rookie or second year safeties. You have two guys like that, and then you had three guys, Taylor Rapp, who's a veteran in the league, who's been in the system now into a third year, DeMar Hamlin, who's into a fifth year, Cam Lewis and Hamlin might be into sixth years, actually. No, they'd be fifth years. You just had a room already that had guys like that.
Yeah.
Poyer is longer. Poyer wasn't playing at a higher level, but it was not a room that was filled top to bottom with first and second year players. Yeah. You had two guys out of seven.
It'll be Cam Lewis's sixth year.
Sixth year for Cam Lewis.
6 years on the team.
Right. So, and he was mentioned when he'll help blank in the room and blank in the room. And then you got to mentioning Cam Lewis and Taylor Rapp. And Cam Lewis and Taylor Rapp have been in the league almost as long as Josh Allen's been in the league.
But that's the thing. You can't argue against leadership and culture. There's no really pushback. I'm not even that I would really dispute it. It's just one of the ways I might want to say this is Poyer's going to be treated as a break glass in case of emergency guy, right?
That's how I see it. Yes.
Okay, break glass in case of emergency. So I want you to picture you break glass in case of emergency, and then right under it says, emergency seems somewhat likely.
Hmm.
Don't we feel that? Doesn't this feel like a move where everybody out there, if you're listening, if you're a Bills fan, you think like they're doing this because they got to get Bishop right. On the one hand, Joe, I would do whatever it takes if I'm the Bills to get Bishop right. I don't know that I buy if Jordan Poyer is going to be the thing that gets him right. He's either going to get it or he's not going to get it. Maybe the veteran leadership of Poyer will help, and Bishop, because he missed time, that's the biggest problem. We've heard that the whole time, right? We haven't heard that there's no one in the room to lead him. There's no one in the room to help him understand. What we've heard from McDermott is it's time on task, that Bishop needs to play, and he and Rapp need to play together. And here's Poyer yesterday, along with Jordan Phillips. They both said they think they have gas left in the tank. And I think Poyer comes here because he thinks he's going to play. And I bet he's going to play. I bet he's going to play. I don't know when he's going to start. I don't think he's going to start against Baltimore. But
how many guys do they go through before they would get to him? Is it just Cole Bishop?
I would think.
Because there are other
safeties, but
players in between.
The guy he would have to beat out is Hamlin, who's not exactly an athletic safety.
No.
By like NFL safety standards. So
no, but is he as athletic as Poyer is right now?
It's a great question.
Is the Jordan Hancock hype real at all? Like, is he...
He's hurt.
Before the injury, there was some momentum towards, like, all right, let's throw his hat in the ring.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt. Right. So, like, does he pick up where he left off on that? I mean, so many ideas, I feel like, are possible at that position. I wouldn't rule out at all, though, that Poyer is an idea. Maybe Hancock is, like, that's not real. Like, the idea that he could actually start. Like, they're not really that close to making that determination. And if they had a big, important game and Bishop wasn't getting the job done and there was an injury at the position somewhere else, like, okay, yeah, let's put Jordan in there. Because they know him and they trust that he knows the system and all of that. So I could see it. I also don't want to go nuts over anything that is on the practice squad.
True.
Right?
I want to agree with
that. Like, I think the fringe who makes the 53-man roster is already, you know, it's not really that. Like, whether Tyrell Shavers was on the team or not isn't that impactful to what happens this season.
Right.
And now I'm going beyond the 53 players. I'm going to, like, the 60th player.
Well, to that point, what did Sal say with us yesterday? It's possible to bring him on the practice squad as an onboarding process.
To eventually be
on the active roster. Because, say it this way. What if he had come to camp and made the roster? What would we think? Uh-oh.
Their safety room is in worse than we thought. Yeah.
Yeah, worse than we thought. And I don't know. Maybe Poyer can find a fountain of youth. I put up a Twitter poll about this. How do you feel about what's your take on the Jordan Poyer addition to the practice squad and what it means for the safety room? And I put three options in there. Good to have, somewhat concerning, or both.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it can be both. Right? This is one of those things where two things can be true. You want to sell me on Poyer and his leadership and his culture? All right. They just did that with Micah Hyde. Mm-hmm. And that was, what, November when that happened? November, December?
Yeah, it was November. Yeah.
So that's late in the season. The Bills are already good. They're bringing him in for a veteran. And I think we all said, like, good idea. Sounds great. Who cares? Like, you're going to go back there and see if you can get any help. I don't know if they did. It's the kind of thing that it's hard to get tangible proof that it helped or tangible proof that it didn't. Mm-hmm. It's just this... You know, ethereal kind of, it's culture. All right. Well, the Bills are pretty good at that. So they, I would want to say, know what they're doing in that department. And Poyer will come in and give them a boost there. But I don't know. Maybe it's just my knee-jerk, the way a lot of people knee-jerked about Jordan Phillips. And we talked about that earlier in the week, where it's my knee-jerk where I am worried about the safety room. I'm really worried about it. And
yeah,
am I worried it's going to stop them from winning the division? No. I'm worried that when we get to a game in January against an elite offense like Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
like if they're playing the Bills, which they don't have to play the Bills, which is good news, if they're against Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
I'm worried. I'm worried about a fatal flaw in what they built. They spent so much. Think about what they did to their defense. They spent a lot on the defensive line. They spent their biggest asset at corner and drafted other corners. And what do they do at safety? Like, not anything. Very, very little.
They trusted in Bishop.
They trusted Bishop.
They
brought back Hamlin, and they added Derek Forrest. Like, their safety room coming into this season would have been the most bargain basement safety room you could get outside of a second-round pick, not exactly being bargain basement. He's, you know, in investment. Mm-hmm. But when we were going back to talking about Taylor Rapp, like Rapp is on a 3-year, $10 million deal. That's very low safety money. They like him. That's great. But it's just been a position that over time has been really important to McDermott. And here he is kind of again trying to piecemeal it together. And it all happened on the same day. And this might be, you know, 2 points I'm connecting that aren't exactly connected. It all happens on the same day. The Ravens give Kyle Hamilton $25 million a year.
Yeah.
So one of my main competitors is potentially elite at the position that I think for this defense is important. And this team, you know, you got to pick one or the other. I get that. I hear like Brandon Bean, you can't do everything. I know. I'm just worried about it. I'm worried about the position. I have been all year. When Joe Marino did his Lockdown podcast of the 10 most important bills, I listed Cole Bishop sixth because I think it's important what happens at that position.
Yeah.
And Poyer coming in, I'm not telling you that it's bad. He's on the practice squad, not on the 53. I think he will be on the 53 at some point. I think he will be elevated to play. I think he will play games. And I think that position is scary.
Well, really what that is then, that is... That is just a strict bet against Bishop in the first place, right? Like the idea that he will start week one, and what do we think will happen? At some point during the year, it'll be so obvious that it's going poor that we think like Sean McDermott's going to open a week, like a practice week, and announce like Bishop's not the starter anymore.
It's
like,
that,
is that how they would do it?
There's also Bishop gets hurt. He gets hurt a lot.
He doesn't get hurt a lot.
He gets hurt a lot.
Yeah.
So
he might do it for him.
Right. This is also partially like Derek Forrest. I know this sounds kind of maybe stupid, which, you know, it wouldn't be my first ever stupid take. When they signed Derek Forrest, the guy that had started in the league, it's kind of maybe counterintuitive to say, if Derek Forrest were the guy in the practice squad, I might feel better. Because, hey, we signed him. We like what we see. Right now, he's going to be behind a couple of guys. But he's here. He started games in the league. He's a young athletic safety that maybe can be groomed the right way. Instead, to go back to a 34-year-old who knows the system, who, you know, is a legend. Like, I almost want to, you know, it's not about Poyer individually, but it kind of is about the fact that I want to just be careful about always going back to vibes. And if you'll allow me to straw man this, you know who else would give them leadership? Kyle Williams. I don't think he can play. That's a straw man. I understand that. But it's just, at some point, I'm going to run out of just the vibes and all the vibes of everyone coming back. And then again, if he plays well when he gets in, then it's a great story. Or if Bishop kind of finds his way, then it never becomes an issue. But it does have me worried about their safeties, which is not new. So it kind of just highlights the thing I was already worried about a little bit.
It has me how different – we actually had a caller about this yesterday, didn't we, though? The difference between Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer for this? Like,
the difference is that one of them had a good camp by most accounts, and the other one was touring the world.
I was going to say, because we didn't get to see Poyer at camp. Like, what if Poyer had come in and had a good camp? That actually could have been interesting, too. Like, what would it have sounded like if he didn't, let's say he didn't do that. He didn't go travel to Brazil, wherever he went, and he said, yeah, I'm going to come to camp. But Bean said they'd been talking since May. So, he comes to camp, and he looks good. Like, he looks pretty good. What's the story? Is Jordan Poyer going to start week one? Right? Isn't it the exact same as Tre'Davious White?
Yeah.
That he's pushing Cole Bishop right out of the gates? And the name power, I think, is going to always carry a lot of weight for that. Because, I mean, like, again, DeMar Hamlin had a good camp, I think, by most accounts. Like, he was a little bit noticeable, and he looked like a leader out there, but we just saw what that looked like, and he's DeMar Hamlin. Like, we know how good he's been at his best, and it's somebody that you'd like to do better than out there on the field. So it's, okay, well, all right, he had a good camp, cool. I want Bishop to be the one that has a good camp. Poyer has a good camp. And I think maybe some of the same mentality that exists with Tre'Davious White would be there, which is, oh, maybe he refound it. Maybe he touched back end with what he was. I mean, how long has it been since Poyer was great? It's been 3 years,
right? It's been 3 years. The difference is, of course, Trey White was kind of cut down by injuries, and Jordan Poyer was what? Kind of just slowed down by age?
But that seems to be more of the case. In fact, that last great year he had, I think he was injured all year.
Poyer.
The elbow, right? I mean, it's not the same as...
Yeah, the elbow.
Trey White has got knee problems and Achilles, but...
He drove 15 hours to play in the game in Kansas City with a punctured lung.
Right, right.
He's...
That's the 22 season. He made a Pro Bowl that year, and he did miss four games season.
He was first-team All-Pro. I mean, he's a legend. He's going on the new wall whenever they put it up.
That was the only season he missed a game in for the Bills. Well, there were 17 games. He played 16 games every year for the Bills except for that one where he played 12. So I think the name is going to carry a lot of weight, and I don't know what he would have looked like at training camp. Maybe he would have looked good, especially in comparison to maybe some of their other safeties too.
I want to tell you that I really like Micah. I appreciate the 4 years that we've had him here. He's a great player.
You can have the boat or the mystery box.
We not only gives us four first-round picks over the next 2 years. Nothing says we can't use some of those picks right now to go get somebody right now.
A boat's a boat, but the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. You know how much we've wanted one of those.
Yes, Family Guy. And Jerry Jones, very appropriate off the press conference yesterday where they announced that Jerry Jones wants to stop the run. And Micah Parsons on his way to Green Bay. He's there. He signs a huge extension, and the offseason is complete now. All the hold-ins worked. Next year, I want to remember that.
Yeah.
It all worked.
Including James Cook?
Right. That's right. Sure. I mean, you could say, well, who knows if it made a difference. The point is, everybody that held in got an extension. Nobody was forced to sit out games.
Yeah.
Nobody got really hardballed here. So next year, when we get to four or five players holding in, I'm going to lean back on this year if I remember to and say everybody else got their deals. So I'd expect more of them. Bean even on Hard Knocks saying, was it Hard Knocks where he said it? Where the hold in's kind of nice because the guy's here. He's going to meet.
I think he said that on Hard Knocks.
This appears to be a effective route to take, and your GMs don't get too mad. And if they do, they trade you to Green Bay.
So, right, I was going to say, that was the one where it was probably going to go into the season.
Didn't it feel like it was the least likely that the player would actually leave the team?
Definitely. I thought Hendrickson was the most likely. I would have never thought Parsons would actually get traded.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is what they do, right? Like, the history tells you they waited on Dak. They waited forever on Dak. I mean, they franchise tagged him twice. That would be 3 years further out than where they are with Parsons right now, right?
Yeah.
That is, he played on the final year of his contract, then they franchise tagged him, then they franchise tagged him again. I think they may have paid him before that year. Parsons gets traded. Like, I would have thought, they're just playing games. This is what they do. They did with CeeDee Lamb, too. They wait to the end, they'll pay extra because of it, and he'll play this year on the final year of his deal, and then they'll threaten the franchise tag, and then they'll extend him and pay him $50 million next year. I never thought they would actually trade him. Because, again, like, part of my confusion is just, what do they want to be? And I guess what you're hearing from Jerry Jones there is he legitimately thinks that he's going to win with this formula. Adding a defensive tackle, stopping the run. He seems to think, from that clip, he's going to have the ability somewhere to trade these first-round picks and go get something that's going to help you right now when we just went through it. All the guys that were worth first-round picks have signed. So it's over. You can't go get, maybe they can go get Trey Hendrickson today. They can't go get Terry McLaurin today. They can't go get James Cook. They can't go get Myles Garrett or TJ Watt. There's nobody out there that they're going to trade a first-round pick for. So I don't know who he thinks he's acquiring.
Right, especially now. 803-0550. Jealous of the Packers here on the Parsons trade? You want to give us a thought on the Bills and the Parsons trade? You can. The other side of this, a little Friday topic for you. What's the most upset you've ever been at a trade? Because a lot of what was going around in Dallas yesterday was Luka Doncic and then Micah Parsons. The Stars even tweeted out, don't worry, Mika Rantanen is still on the team, which was very funny. Which gets us to, what's the most upset you've ever been about a player going out in a trade? Think about that for a minute. Give us a call. And you want to make a Buffalo sports history, you're a Yankee fan, whatever. It's the most upset you've ever been about a trade.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also the version of it where, you're 8 years old and you learn that players can get traded.
That, yeah.
I had that one with Lenny Dykstra. But the most upset I've ever been about a Sabre or a Bill being traded away. I mean, Diggs last year was a shock. Shock. Yep. And I didn't love it. But a second-round pick was somewhat easy to square. And also, right when they did it, we thought they might go out and get like Brandon Ayuk or something. But that's yeah. more. There's more to that age and role in the offense. You know, there's a lot to that one. I don't know if that's the most upset I've been about a player traded away. I'm trying to think of who it is. It's been I've been sitting here, Joe, for 25 years. So is it 25? No, 20. Anyway, who even knows anymore? The most upset. Jason Peters, are you mad about that? Are you mad?
Yeah.
Are you mad when?
I was mad when Tekeo Spikes got traded because he was one of my favorites as a kid. That's a lot of it, right, is who did you love growing up that got traded away?
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. I mean, for me, on the hockey side, it was Brian Campbell. I love Brian Campbell. What, like, second favorite Sabre, second favorite athlete maybe growing up. Loved him.
He cried.
And he was upset too. I'm sure that did not help being upset about it. I had his jersey. Like, he might have been my first real jersey, honestly, was a Brian Campbell slug jersey.
Yeah. That was at a time where the Sabres were just literally unwilling to pay market rates.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Right. Like, that's the other thing. He was still very good. They were supposed to still be trying to be good. And then he got traded away for, like, picks, right? So that one was tough for me.
Bernier.
I'm like 12.
Isn't that Big Bear Bernier in a pick?
That's right. Okay, so maybe that actually helped within a week. Like, hey, the new guy showed up and was awesome for one game at least. I don't know if it was more than that.
I think the pick ended up being Ennis.
All right, well, that turned out okay. Still, I was devastated when they
traded him. Most upset I've ever been about a trade. Who the Bills traded away? Over the years. Peerless Price, that got a first-round pick.
The best players they've traded away would include, I mean, it's Diggs, and it's you went back to Jason Peters. In between that, they traded Tyrod away.
Cordy Glenn.
Yeah, no, that ain't it.
Sammy Watkins, there's an answer.
All right.
You might have liked Sammy an awful lot and thought it was really early to bail on that. Looking back, that's fine.
I mean, but who's the guy that was great that they
let's revisit away? Watkins. Watkins was a fourth overall pick at receiver.
Yeah.
And they got out of that early.
But the whole thing was annoying, right? Like, him always being injured, and how good is he really? Yeah. And you got him, and now we don't have the quarterback, so what are you doing here? And
yeah.
I don't know. I wonder how, like, because Parsons, I'm sure, was beloved by fans. And I know there's going to be nothing Buffalo-wise that compares to that. But, I mean, Watkins wasn't, he was maybe polarizing, right? But he wasn't like beloved.
No.
The way that, I'm sure you're going to have more examples, I think, of the Sabres with this because there were more Sabres that won, right? Vanek getting traded away. I'm sure, like, I don't remember me being brokenhearted about that, but I'm sure there were fans that grew up with him being great.
Miller.
Watched him in the playoffs. I mean, Miller, too.
Yeah, those trades.
That would have broke your heart.
See, that was tough because at that time I wanted those trades to happen because I thought they needed to.
Yeah.
You got yourself in that spot by making other trades like the Campbell trade and losing Breer and Drury.
That's where the Peters trade, Jason Peters, might be the closest to Parsons for what we have, where the guy is a great player and you can't really come up with any good reason why they should have done it.
Right.
Because, like, there, Vanek, Miller, Pominville, those guys are beloved. They were still all really good players. But there was, like, a defense for doing it, for sure. Like, this is the direction they got to go. Repaying them now doesn't make a ton of sense. Maybe that's where the Campbell trade, you know, hit me hard, too. But, like, Jason Peters is, this guy is great, and you should just pay him. And that is exactly, I think, what Cowboys fans are waking up today saying is, what was the defense for doing this?
Yeah.
He's amazing. He was young. We're trying to win. It's kind of that for that. It's the Luka trade. That fan base having that happen to them twice within a year of why are we doing this? So that we can get a power forward and we could get a defensive tackle. Just that would drive me nuts, and I don't have a lot of comparables here for that.
803-0550. Got some tweets in, some answers, and some throwback names. Anthony writes in. I feel like I can say Patrick Mahomes. You could, if you really wanted him, and they're on the clock, you get to. That's the thing, Joe. Some of these are going to be, I was mad at the time, and it turned out it didn't make any difference. And then there's, I was mad at the time, and looking back, I was right. Because you might have been right about, here's one, like Aaron writes in, Lee Evans for me. suffered through the Lossman years, never complained, right? We finally get a worthy receiver on the other side, and Stevie, we trade away Evans. They trade away Evans, and the idea was he had lost a step. He goes to Baltimore, and what happens after that?
Like, he didn't do anything.
He's kind of done quickly as a drop in a play, important playoff game, or a tough catch that he doesn't come up with.
Like, he had 74 yards after leaving the Bills.
Right. So at the time, I'm mad. What happened? Well, it's pretty much over from there.
Right.
Okay. Versus another one where if you are someone that really wanted Mahomes and they trade out of that spot, you've been mad about it since. And then they get Josh, and it's much easier to take. Andrew writes in, Stu Barnes getting traded to Dallas.
Okay.
Jay writes in, Ryan O'Reilly. It's a good one.
Yeah.
On the Peters trade, which you said, like, what was the defense of it? If I remember, the reason they traded Jason Peters is because it's kind of like Parsons. He was unbelievably grossly underpaid, and the Bills at the time, I think, had a policy of not renegotiating contracts that weren't in their final year. It came down to they didn't want it. Sorry, we don't do that. We'll trade you to the Eagles. Okay.
I mean, that's brutal, right?
It's tough. More names on this.
That's the closest thing for this situation that I think I've got.
There, of course, the Sabres bring with them in this conversation about the trades that made you the most upset for a player leaving. I mean, the Sabres, they don't exactly have
Hasek.
Well, I was going to say, that falls in line here. They don't exactly have Cowboys vibes because the Cowboys, while they don't win big, they do compete regularly. And the Sabres, this is kind of a little bit of the franchise identity. Hasek left. Pekka, right?
Everybody.
Everybody leaves. Everybody gets traded. Captains
right. Name their best player that ended their career here. Go ahead. I'll give you an hour to figure it out. Since Perreault. Who's the best player they've had to end their career here? You ain't going to find one. Craig Anderson had a send-off. There you go.
He's a nice player.
TV, you got a little delivery from Fanatics?
Yeah, what is it? Jersey? What is this? Look, I love Orchard Park. I had some of my best games there, but this is ridiculous. No, that's actually kind of intimidating. I don't think Bills fans love me very much, but I will say this is a top-tier jersey.
Wait, Tom Brady likes the jersey?
Sure he does.
It's just a white jersey. It's not the rivalry jersey he's signing, right? Somebody just gave him a white Allen jersey? You can't just have the rivalry jersey. It's not available until September 10th, did I see?
September 10th,
Real quick. How is it not available for sale right now?
I don't know.
I signed up to be notified when you could buy the stuff.
Right. Who at Fanatics decided it was a good idea? Hey, how can we sell jerseys? How can we get Bills fans on board with this new jersey? Let's put it in front of Tom Brady and have him sign it. 33-3 versus Bills, ! And put that in front of everybody's face. That's a great marketing move there. What was the goal? So, what a stupid video.
Not a fan?
Of him?
Yeah.
No. I will say he's leaning into being the villain by signing it 33-3 versus Bills. But why are we even... New England had one of these. Put a Patriots jersey in front of him to help sell it.
Was it even really the jersey? I don't think it was the jersey. I think it was just a white, like...
No, it was a white Josh Allen jersey.
The thing intimidating is the shoulder patch. Like, the Bills...
The patch is on there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, this is a real Josh Allen jersey. It's a real Josh Allen jersey. That now exists, by the way. There is a Josh Allen out there jersey in existence. How's everyone feel about that? That is signed Tom Brady on the 1, and then on the 7, it says 33-3 versus Bills.
Yeah, who would do that?
This was an idea of a skit, I guess, to be funny.
How much do you think about this is Brady?
Maybe. It could, like, it was his idea?
Yes, 100%.
You think it was Brady's idea?
Yeah.
And not somebody else? Like, he just wanted to troll Bills fans?
One thing you can see in the video, which this might be different by the time we can see them on. By the way, good morning, 803-0550. Give us a ring if you want. On the Micah Parsons trade and on the new jersey if you want that as well. The shoulder pads being a little darker because it's supposed to look like snow has fallen on them.
Or ice, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's actually snow. It's supposed to be snow falling on bison's fur.
Okay.
I believe I have that correct. I saw Pete.
I thought it was like a like frozen lake is what it looked like.
No. The actual graphic, okay. Pete Guelli tweeted out a graphic, Sabres and Bills COO, about the uniform. Yes.
Yeah.
And on the shoulder it says, a cracked ice texture with speckled white resembling fresh snowfall on a bison's fur. That's what that is. So, yes, cracked ice and fresh snowfall.
So it's both, kind of.
I guess so, yes.
Okay.
Inside the collar it says Bills Mafia.
I do like that texture on the top and the little bit of a dark. I like it.
Without saying it's the best jersey I've ever seen, I will say it's exactly what I hoped they would do. When the teaser picture came out yesterday and we're left to look at 8, and I don't know if they're all that good. It's exactly what I wanted them to do. Some of the elements that these teams used. So the Bills got fresh snow falling on a bison's fur, like a little subtle detail you might not pick up unless you're looking really close. Seattle's, the numbers, do you see the numbers? They have 12s inside of them as a tribute to the 12th man. The Patriots, the numbers on the jerseys are a tribute to the font of naval vessels, ships, and they have fish nets, not like whatever, netting on the shoulder pads on some level. Not exactly fish nets, but you know what I'm trying to say. Fish netting. I feel like I have to say it that way. Anyway, all the, I think these jerseys, they go hard. They're great. I like them, most of them. Even the Jets, although they chose manhole cover as their identity, okay.
Yeah.
He's been in the sewer for a while, so I guess that works. I'm happy. I'm mainly happy that the Bills are in it. It would feel like missing out if somebody... Imagine if instead of the Bills getting this snow treatment, if somebody like... Where else does it snow? I mean, we're the ones that are going to be known for
Minnesota.
It. Even though they have a dome, though.
Right? Chicago.
Sure, if the...
The Packers.
Somebody. Packers,
Green Bay.
Yes.
Green
if, the,
Bay.
If the Packers had done something like this, like, I'd be really jealous. So anyway, 803-0550. I can't believe you can't buy it right away.
The Seahawks jerseys were also supposed to radiate the sound from the stadium. Like, I didn't know. Did I get fooled by that, by the internet?
Yes.
The design was supposed to help reverberate the sound, like, in
I think the sound,
the uniforms.
The design
was supposed to represent that?
Yes. Supposed to represent. I don't think it's actually supposed to reverberate
sound.
I
thought I read it was actually going to reverberate it, but how would they do that?